biblical history, adventure, and redemption all wrapped up in one. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned. You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole. Hi, and welcome to the show. You are at the right place at the right time with the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. I am so excited for this edition of the show. We are talking to Sean Young all the way from the UK. Yes, worldwide. I'm so excited to have him on the show, and we'll talk to him in just a few moments. I do want to let you know that I will be at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference from June 21st through the 23rd in the lovely La Mirada, California. It's going to be at the Biola University, so you still have time to register for that conference. All you have to do is Google Southern California Christian Writers Conference and register for that conference. If you are a newbie author, if you are a seasoned author, if you're looking to expand your network, the Southern California Conference is right for you. I had such a blast last time I was there last year. Looking forward again to it this year. I'll be teaching two workshops. Make sure you go online to see the schedule. And if you want to make an appointment with me, whether you are a publisher, agent, author, or author service provider, make sure you make an appointment with me. I'll be glad to talk to you about your book, your service, your authors, and what you want to do as far as exposure with The Right Stuff. So make sure, again, you go to Southern California Christian Writers Conference on Google and register for the conference. You will not be disappointed. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking to author Sean Young, and he will be talking to us all the way from the UK. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guests on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to my wonderful guest co-host and contributor today, Sean Young. He is the author of the fabulous book called Forged in Rage. It's book
1 of Violent Sands series. And I want to again thank Peter Younghusband for his recommendation. Peter Younghusband is a friend of the show, and he has such great recommendations for this show. So many of my authors have been here because of Peter Younghusband, and I want to give a shout out to him for all the work he has done for Christian Fantasy Fiction authors and giving them a ministry and giving them a platform to let readers know their work exists. One thing about this book, it is so good, guys. Let me tell you, it is, has adventure, just everything you could possibly need in the book. It has in this book, and it's in biblical fiction. And it takes a character that we love to hate and humanizes him, which I hated. But then I was just, it was beautiful. And I don't want to give away too much of the story because I want you to listen to my guest co-host and contributor today, Sean Young. He has wonderful wordsmith skills. So what I really suggest that you do is go online and get a copy of my brother's book today. You will not be disappointed. I enjoyed every single word of the story, and I can't wait to delve into it with him. You can find it online on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So today's show is pre-recorded, so we will not be taking questions today. But get your family and friends, and they can listen in. They can listen in by calling 646-668-8485. Follow us on iTunes. They can download Stitcher on your mobile device, or you can click on the link that's in the show description and listen into this show. And so without further ado, I want to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Sean Young. Sean, how are you doing today?
Hi there. Yeah, thanks very much for having me on the show. It's great to be here. Doing great, thank you.
I am so excited you're here with me, too. It's been a nice little ride. We had talked last year, didn't get a chance to have a show last year, but I'm so excited we can have you on the show because when I read your book, I was just astounded at your wordsmith skills. You have a wonderful way with words. I was in ancient biblical times. I was there. I could smell the sand, smell the sweat. I could smell the blood. I was there. A lot of smelling going on. I was there, you know. I could see the textures of the buildings and see the different interaction between different groups and cultures and all kinds of things. And then I was put in a modern mindset because the language you used was very modern, but you still was able to put us in that ethnic understanding and culture of the time, which I definitely enjoyed when it comes to historical fiction. So I really enjoyed the way you did that. And so I can't wait to tell our listeners about that. Before I do that, I can always read your bio and say, hey, this is Sean Young. But you tell us who you are in your own words.
I hail from South Africa originally. That's where I was born and raised. But I currently live in the UK. And I live in Surrey with my family, my wife and two children. Really enjoying it here. Involved in the local Christian community. It's really, really good. Really enjoying things at the moment. So, yeah.
What part of South Africa are you from?
I lived in Joburg, moved around a lot. So I lived in several cities, but most of my life I lived in Johannesburg, South Africa.
How many languages do you know? You have to know more than one.
I'm fluent in two.
Mm. So that's awesome. I mean, when I hear South Africa, I'm always interested because we have such a negative connotation of certain places. And so when I hear that you live in South Africa, I was just dying to know about that. It must be wonderful living there. You know, probably ups and downs like anywhere you live. So that's awesome. So, you know, how long have you been a writer?
I have been writing since about just before 2000, since 1998, 1999, thereabouts. Mm-hmm. So a number of years now. I haven't produced a whole lot of work in that time, but I generally write in spare time and I've really enjoyed it. So, yeah, it's a great outlet for my faith.
So what does your journey to writing look like?
It was fairly instantaneous, really. I was walking down the road one day and just suddenly had an epiphany and a thought about the character we're going to delve into now. I just suddenly got a sense of that this would be a great book. I'd never really written anything before, but I thought this is a story that needs to be written. And from that moment on, I just could not... I couldn't wait to finish the story. I had to finish it. I had to get it out in It took me a couple of years to finish the first draft. But from that moment, I had to finish the novel. So it was that simple. My first attempt at writing was the Violent Sands series. And I just dived in and started writing.
What I like about the Violent Sands series, and I know there's a couple more books with this series, what I like about it is that you put us in biblical times, but you make it so real, like I said a little bit before I just asked you that question, you make it so real and we're there. And so why did you choose to write the Violent Sands series?
Primarily because the thought I had, or the concept that I had, was built around the character of Barabbas,
mm-hmm.
Who obviously is a biblical character, a very small biblical character, mind you. But the whole theme and the whole idea of the story for me revolved around him, which meant that by extension, it was going to be biblical fiction, end of.
When it comes to biblical historical fiction, what challenges did you face? And I know there are some aspiring authors in our listenership today. They want to write biblical fiction. They don't know where to start. And so what were some challenges you faced? How did you go about with that kind of thing? Tell us a little bit about that.
Funny enough, for me, the challenges were more on the publishing side than the writing side.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously quite a bit of research that needs to happen, and you need to understand the times and the political situation as well as the geography of the area. So there's a lot of stuff to do in terms of research, but that was fairly easy. I think for me, the biggest challenge was more on the publishing side. As an author, it's a very done kind of idea, and when you approach publishers as a rule have been looking, saying, Christian fiction has moved on from biblical fiction and Old Testament, or not, sorry, New Testament fiction, and we're looking for something new, we're looking for something different. They do tend to feel that is quite an overdone genre, if you will. So I think there it's difficult. But I mean, that said, I would never suggest to anyone who has a burning desire to write something in that genre not to do it. Go ahead and write it, because I think your best writing will come from your heart, from something that you love. And if you produce something that readers want to read, you'll find an outlet for it.
What's interesting about biblical fiction is that you have to put yourself in Bible times, and so you have to go to the different places. Well, not, you maybe didn't have a chance to go, but you probably went in your research and stuff. So what kind of extra biblical sources did you use when you were compiling your information to write the story? Did you go online to a particular website? Did you go to archaeology.com? I mean, where did you go to get your research from?
I actually searched quite far and wide. I had Bible atlases. I had a lot of books and things that I got out of my local library, that I got from the local university library. I also went down to one of the Bible colleges in Johannesburg, Rosebank Bible College, and they graciously allowed me to use their library.
Oh, wow.
So I used a lot of the books that I found in local libraries. I did some internet research, a fair bit, and I found that particularly helpful, particularly when it came to visual images and things like that. So I went and looked in the areas that the book is set. And at that stage, having never traveled to Israel myself, I wanted to get a good idea of, what it's like visually to experience. And so I went through a lot of images and things like that that I used in my research. And a lot of the descriptions and things that I've written are probably taken straight from those images.
I got to ask, so you go to the Bible College of Johannesburg, and how do you say, hey, I'm writing the book, I need your help? How do you do that? I know our listeners will be asking that, because there's a lot of Bible colleges here in the U.S. as well. So how do you go to... How did that happen? I would love to hear that story.
It was, you know, it was one of those experiences. I think one's always very nervous when you approach a stranger and ask them for help. But I think actually, when you get right down to it, people love to help others, especially fellow Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So I made an appointment and I went through and saw one of the local teachers and trainers at the Bible College. Told him a bit about the book that I wanted to write. And I was fairly straight. I said, I've never written anything before. This is a first attempt. And he asked me a bit about my life. We just got chatting. Off the back of that, he gave me some advice. That's really what I went through. I didn't really go through and say, can I use your library?
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking for some advice from a minister who would obviously know a lot more about the biblical times than I did. And so I really just asked him what sort of advice he could offer me. And out of that, he made an offer for me to go down and have a look through their library. He gave me some suggested reading. So that was the starting point of the journey.
That is absolutely fascinating. And I love the fact that you said, you know, people generally do want to help people, generally speaking. And it's funny because I just finished watching a ton of police procedurals and everyone's killing everybody, whatever, you know. So I had to kind of be reminded that people do generally and genuinely want to help people, especially fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love the fact that you mentioned that. One thing I've always said, Sean, I would love you to speak to this. I always say that in the writing industry, there are no competitors. We're all colleagues. Do you agree with that statement?
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think you could really get anywhere or make it in writing if you didn't have fellow writers around you. The support structure is phenomenal. I found in the early days, obviously, you know, this was something that was just burst out of an instant. From there, I knew nobody who was a writer. I didn't know of any writing groups, certainly not fellow Christian writers. So I went onto the internet, and that's where I found my support group. And it's been fantastic. Absolutely. They're not competitors. Everyone is there to help each other achieve the dream and the vision they have.
That's phenomenal. We're talking today to Sean Young. He is the author of the book Forged in Rage, book one of the Violent Sands series. If you love biblical historical fiction, fantasy, redemption, if you love all of that, you're going to find all of that in this book here. I loved it. And when we come back from the break, we are going to be reading an excerpt from that and then begin to delve into Forged in Rage and get some more behind-the-scenes insights from Sean Young. So go ahead, stick right here. We'll be right back in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the Queen of Tuesday Night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor all the way from the UK. We are talking to Sean Young. He is the author of the book Forged in Rage, which is book one of the Violent Sands series. You can get a copy of that today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today. Go to Amazon.com or wherever books are sold and get your copy today. And remember, I tell you to always leave a review. We authors need reviews. It helps us to breathe at night. It lets us know that we set out to do what we was going to do. And if we didn't, we want to know about that too. So make sure you get a copy of Forged in Rage, book one of the Violet Sands series today. And we're going to bring Sean back online because Sean is going to give us behind-the-scenes insight into this wonderful book that I know you will enjoy, especially if you enjoy biblical historical fiction. What I want to do right now is read a quick excerpt, and I just want you to listen to his wonderful wordsmith skills. This is, again, an excerpt from Forged in Rage, book one of Violet Sands. Outside the city walls, Barabbas hid quietly behind the twisted trunk of an ancient and deformed acacia tree, allowing its sinister shadows to enfold him. He crouched silently, holding his breath as he calculated his next move. What would he do if discovered? Which way would he flee? In the darkness, he listened for the approach of his unseen foes. His ears told him that there were many. The intermittent cracking of twigs and the occasional furtive whisper told Barabbas they were trying to move in silence. He shook his head at the incompetence of the approaching rabble. If my men move with such carelessness, I will kill them myself. A sharp node bored painfully into his back, but he dared not move. The Roman soldiers, he could now see who they were too close. Any sound might alert them to his presence. With discipline born of a lifetime of struggle, he endured the discomfort, not even chancing to shift his weight for fear of alerting the legionnaires to his presence. And that's just the first part of chapter 3 of Forged in Rage, book 1 of Violent Sands. And let me tell you, when I was reading this part of the story, Sean, I could just feel the tension that Barabbas is going through. But before I do that, I want people to know a little bit about Forged in Rage. So go ahead and give us just a synopsis of the story.
The story really, it revolves around the character of Barabbas, and it starts with his raid on the Roman establishment within Jerusalem, and it really sets the scene for the Barabbas that we know and know and love to hate, as you put it, later on in the story. Attacking the Roman barracks makes him the number one wanted man in the whole of Israel. Rome is after him, and they're looking for him, and he's now on the run. As he's on the run, he discovers an ancient secret that dates back to the Maccabees, who the Zealots really were in a way birthed out of. The Maccabees were the people that that overthrew the Greek authorities in Israel several hundred years earlier. He discovers an ancient secret all revolving around the Copper Scroll, which is a historical document. You can Google it. It's got quite a romantic story about it. So Barabbas then becomes a protector of the scroll, the protector of this secret, while he's a wanted man. And in his rage against Rome and in his efforts to protect this secret, this cherished hope of Israel for a Messiah to come, in the midst of all of that, he's confronted with a person of Jesus, the person who took his place on the cross, really. Barabbas was supposed to have been crucified, but was granted a reprieve because Jesus was sent to the cross in his stead. And he's confronted with the person of Christ. And of course, as a person who has been looking for the Messiah his whole life, this is not the Messiah that he envisioned. It's not the Messiah that he thought he would see. So he's got a lot to come to terms with in terms of that. And that's the story of him protecting the scroll, protecting the secret, and in the midst of all of this, being confronted with the person of Jesus Christ.
Barabbas. Now, like I said earlier, this is the guy we love to hate because this guy was chosen of our Lord and Savior. So why him as a protagonist? And you said, you mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you said that it came to you in an instant. And I know how that can happen as a fellow writer. I know how you get an idea. You'd be walking down the street staring at a pole or whatever. And all of a sudden you go, yeah. Oh, something happened, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell us, you know, Barabbas, this is a guy, we only know him as a murderer and a robber. We only know him as the one that was selected over Christ.
Yeah, so while I was walking, it suddenly occurred to me that Barabbas was the very first person to experience the redemptive power of Jesus Christ in a very physical way. Whether he knew it or not, he was the first example of everything that we as Christians through millennia now have experienced through Jesus Christ's work on the cross. Barabbas was, in that sense, he was a picture of each and every one of us. Yes, we love to hate him because he's such an unworthy soul. He's such an unworthy person. He belonged on the cross. He was a murderer. He was a criminal. And yeah, absolutely, he belonged on that cross. And then instead of going to the cross and getting his just desert, suddenly he's set free, and somebody who is blameless, innocent, a person who's shown the world nothing but love, goes to the cross, physically in his place. So I got that very real sense that Barabbas is a picture of each and every one of us, the physical condition and the physical place in which Barabbas found himself is the same as the spiritual place in which each and every one of us, as believers, as non-believers in the world, find ourselves. We are unworthy, but at the same time, Jesus went to the cross and he took all of the punishment, everything that we deserve, he took on himself so that we could go free like Barabbas. Barabbas went free physically. The Bible never tells us whether he actually came to faith and whether he actually became spiritually free as he was physically free. I hope he did as a result of the work on that cross. But certainly he was that picture of each and every one of us. That's the idea that I had and the reason that I chose him as a protagonist.
When I was reading the book, this idea blew my mind away. And hearing you explain it so eloquently, like you just did, it blows my mind even further. Because as I was reading that part, I was like, "Oh, you know, like, oh my Jesus, I'm so sorry," you know. And all that comes to mind because Barabbas was truly unworthy, and he is a soul full of rage from so many different sources, and that's evident without the book. You know, Rome, you got his people, you got all kind of stuff happening right now for Barabbas, you know. And then what you did, which I kind of took a little bit, because like I said, I love to hate the guy, you know. I kind of took a little upfront too, but you humanized him. And when you humanized him, you placed us in his shoes. And so what was the thought process behind fighting against a seemingly insurmountable force such as Rome? Because his anger is toward Rome. There's this great rage to him because he's a zealot toward Rome.
Mm-hmm. So that really came out of a lot of the research that I did. Obviously, we knew that he was an insurrectionist. The Bible tells us that, which meant that it's probably a fair bet that he was a member of the Zealot movement, who were the insurrectionist movement at the time of Jesus. And they were a fairly big, if hidden in the shadows kind of group. But that was their sole purpose. They primarily were out to overthrow Rome. They were incredibly motivated. And I also found that in a weird way, they felt that what they were doing was for God, for God's people. So that kind of humanized him in a way for me. Yes, he was all the things that the Bible tells us he was, but it also gave me an insight into what he was trying to achieve. And what he was trying to achieve was the freedom of Israel. This is where much of Israel was very misguided at the time. A lot of Israel believed that the Messiah would come, the Messiah would be king, the Messiah would overthrow Rome. It would give Israel freedom. And of course, what Israel yearned for was freedom from Roman tyranny, freedom from the oppression of Rome. And this is a huge undercurrent. So whether people were zealots or not, they supported the zealot cause and the zealot idea. Not many would agree with zealot's methods, perhaps. But they certainly supported the idea of overthrowing Rome and getting rid of Roman tyranny. So, yeah, it stemmed very much out of the research that I did. And I realized that we just get a snippet of information in the biblical narrative about Barabbas and who he was and what he had done. But when you research it further, you realize that there was a whole ream of information and thought processes behind what these type of guys were thinking. And it showed me, it gave me more depth and insight into the character.
I want to read another excerpt from Forge and Rage, Book 1 of Violent Sands, available on Amazon.com. So make sure you go ahead and download your copy today. It's the part that we were just talking about when it came to how Sean told us Barabbas physically experienced the redemption of Christ. And so I'm going to read just a small bits and pieces here. They brought Simeon, torn and bleeding, and placed him on the cross. The man from Nazareth was brought next, followed by Joseph on the other side. Each of the men was placed on his own cross, bleeding and gasping for breath. Barabbas felt as if he were losing his already tenuous grasp on sanity. It was his helplessness that hurt him the most. All he could do was watch as the soldiers took the 7-inch spikes and drove them into their victim's wrist. The screams died in choking coughs as the men grasped at the agony of severed nerves. Next, their legs were crossed at the ankles, and a large spike was driven through, tearing ligaments and sinew as it bore its passage with each fresh blow into the wood beyond. Barabbas heard one of the men wail in pain until finally the wail died away into a weak sob. How can men do this? He threw back his head and screamed silently in the sky. To his left, Barabbas saw the soldiers taunting the rabbi who had gone to the cross in his place. The man hung where Barabbas knew he himself belonged. Above the man's head, Barabbas read the sign, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He shook his head as he watched the man experience the same suffering as his brother and Yosef. Barabbas turned back to face his brother, staring into the terrified eyes. Simeon gazed down, but did not see him, blinded by the pain. And that's an excerpt from Forge and Rage, Book 1 of Violent Sands. And it's such a small part of the overall narrative of this novel. That's why I'm encouraging you to go ahead and get a copy of this book today. And so without giving away a lot of spoilers here, what do Simeon and Joseph represent in your mind? Because you have these two men on the side of Christ. What do they represent in your mind?
For me, what they really were was a way of keeping Barabbas in the crucible. Barabbas, I imagine, would have been the kind of guy who, having been set free, would have not given his freedom another thought. He would have just walked away and carried on with his life regardless, without thinking much about it. As an author, I needed a way to keep Barabbas in the crucible. I needed a way to bring him to confront Jesus at the cross. From his perspective, all Jesus would have been at that stage is another guy who had been taken to the cross. He may or may not have known too much about Jesus' ministry. So by putting people that were close to Barabbas alongside Jesus, that brought Barabbas to a place, and it motivated him to get to a place where he could actually be confronted with Jesus. So that was one of the reasons for writing it in. The second reason, of course, is that when you get right down to it, that is the pivotal moment in the whole of our faith. It was that moment of crucifixion that changed everything forever, and has changed millions of lives over thousands of years now. And in order to show what was happening and to show the agony of what Jesus endured on that cross was, I think, quite difficult. It would have been quite difficult if I hadn't given Barabbas a personal reason to observe and see what was going on. So in a weird way, as you read that, you see Jesus is not the central figure in that particular passage that you read there. It's more Barabbas watching what is happening to his brother and to his friend as they're crucified alongside somebody that he doesn't know yet. But I thought it was a way that I could show the truth of what was actually happening there and what Jesus was going through through the eyes of my protagonist. So that was primarily what those two characters were there for.
Now, Sean, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't throw a tomato, much less a punch, okay? So there are a lot of fight scenes and kicktail action in this book. And I want to get behind the mechanics a little bit, because this show is always about encouraging authors to write, especially authors who write a lot of action. Now, I don't write a lot of action. My primary genre is romance. But there could be some kick-butt action in there, too. So tell us a little bit how to effectively write these types of scenes.
It's a tough one for me, because actually for me it comes fairly easily. I didn't have to research or figure out much. I don't know what that says about me as a person, but it's not something that I struggled with. The only advice I can really give writers who are trying to write an action scene is I think in terms of films that I've watched, and I put myself in that place and envision whatever was happening in a particular movie scene that I that perhaps relates to the situation, and then I write what I see. So I think film as a mechanism to watch a film that's got the kind of action that you are trying to put on the page. Immerse yourself in that and then write it. Write what you saw. Just put your own characters in there and then write what you saw, felt, and experienced in that scene is generally what I've done.
So a lot of authors have a process of what they do when they get ready to write. Now, you did say you do write in your spare time, so that's okay. But for me, I have to have my dog, Sarah. She's my muse, and she sits on my feet when I get ready to write. And then I'm off and on recovering Mountain Dew addict. Okay, so I love Mountain Dew. So I recover off and on from that. So sometimes I have a can of Mountain Dew. I have to have a certain ambiance around me. And then I start to write, and I outline and write, outline and write. But that's my writing process. What does your writing process look like?
My Mountain Dew is coffee. I will not start writing unless I've got a hot cup of coffee next to me. Then I need complete silence. So I will generally tuck myself away in a room, into my cave somewhere, shut the door, and then I will start writing. And what I generally find is everything that I write for the first half an hour will ultimately be thrown away, because it just is not very good. It takes me about half an hour to get really into the groove and then start writing. And at that point, I get, you know, at that point the momentum kicks in, and then I start to, you know, really get going, and the words just kind of begin to write themselves.
Now, who are your favorite characters in Forged and Rage? Because I know you have a series, but just in this book here, who are your favorite characters?
I like Levi, who is a close confidant and ally of the Rabbises.
Rather.
I think he's a great character. And one of my other favorite characters is actually Claudius, who is an antagonist. I think he's a Roman centurion who makes an appearance probably in the opening scene or thereabouts. And he's definitely one of my favorite characters because he's a man under command. So I think he's, you know, he hates Barabbas. He hates everything that Barabbas stands for. But Claudius is not a bad person. He's a very good person. I think he has a very strong sense of what is right and what is wrong. And he's got to sometimes walk a fine line because being under command, he's often told to do things that he detests or does or wants no part of. And he finds his own journey throughout the series. So he definitely is one of my favorites as well.
Now, you kind of discussed some of the themes you have in this book, particularly about redemption. What are some other themes that you discussed?
I think redemption and forgiveness, I think, were certainly the major themes in the in Forged and Rage and in the Violet Sand series as a whole. Forgiveness definitely as you go through, particularly through the series, becomes stronger and stronger, and we realize that in order to find true freedom, you first got to learn to forgive, to understand that God has forgiven us. And that we need to forgive those who have wronged us. So that's a very strong theme in the story. And other themes that that probably come through, and certainly have come through in some of my other books, is just the fact that God is in control at the end of the day. You know, it doesn't matter what we do. We rage and we shake our fists at the sky sometimes, and we have all of these plans and things that we do in life. And it takes a long time before we sometimes realize that actually God was in control all along. And we thought we were, you know, on our own mission, doing our own thing, but actually we were playing right into his hand. So I think that comes through a little in the Violet Sand series and certainly in other books that I've written.
That's one thing that I really like that you said, Sean. You know, sometimes we have to forgive people who wrong us. And there's nothing like righteous rage, sort of like what Barabbas had. He had a righteous rage about him. He wasn't always well in his execution of that. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But he did have that righteous rage. I mean, if you look at what Rome did to the Jews and you look at being conquered, just over their history, being conquered. But then some of that, as we all know through the Old Testament, some of that is, if I could say the word loosely, self-inflicted, because the Lord judged them for their sins, and to remember that. But at the same time, when you have that righteous rage and you have to forgive someone who has done you wrong, and it's hard, you want to hold on to it.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget, there was a story here in the U.S., Sean, where this woman lived right next door to her only son's murderer. They lived right next door to each other. And she talked about how at first she hated him. She wanted him to die. But then she ended up ministering to him. And then they go around. Last time I knew, they go around ministering, talking about forgiveness. And this was the man who had killed her only child. And she has love for him, and she's forgiven him. And one thing she said was that forgiveness is not for the person who hurt you. It's for you. Because we don't have that forgiveness, you turn into like Barabbas, full of rage and full of anger, and you're willing to do anything to satisfy that, you know. And that's one thing that comes through in this book. There's so much anger, and you can just feel, that's one thing I liked about it. That's why you call it Forged and Rage. That's what I liked about it. You can feel just this simmering tension, the simmering heat, the simmering anger. And with that anger, it's hopelessness almost. There's some points in the story where Barabbas feels hopeless, like he's fighting this insurmountable earning, and he's doing everything he possibly could, and he can't win. So a lot of that's going on in the book, and I know for our listeners out there, you may resonate with this type of scenario. That's why this book is so good for you to pick up and read. So go ahead and get a copy of Forged in Rage today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. When we come back, we'll have our final segment with Sean Young all the way from the UK. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guests on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. I have been having such a good time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Sean Young, all the way from the UK. Yes, my agent is from the UK, and so I really have a special connection with Sean here because the UK is just so cool. I mean, Americans are just titillated with the UK, just like prior to the UK is titillated with America in some ways, you know, especially the history and stuff like there. Everyone who goes over to the UK always talks about how much history there is over there. We have nothing on it. Why do we keep making all this noise, you know? And then some people from the UK may come, particularly to the like Texas and some of the southern states, and be just surrounded by that, the Old West, the wildness of it, things of that nature. So there's a little bit of fascination on both of us, even though that was our mother country for a while. So we said, not anymore. So that's how that works, you know. So I'm really glad to be talking to my guest co-host today, Sean Young. And he has been telling us about his book, Forged in Rage, which is book one of the Violent Sand series. You definitely want to get a copy of this book today. You will not be disappointed. It's a wonderful story. I was just taken on a wonderful ride as I read this book, and you will be too. And so, you know, Sean, I want our listeners to know a few things because I want to know, I know I raved about the book to you and I told you about it, but how have readers responded to your book?
I've had a fantastic response from readers. A lot of people have given really positive responses. I think the most heartwarming ones are the ones that say, It felt like I was there. A lot of readers come through and say, you took me to another place, you took me to another time, and you made it real. And that is really heartwarming. It's very gratifying to know that the book actually does that. It can transport you right into the time of Jesus, the time of the apostles, the disciples, and give you a real taste of the life and times that they lived.
What I really like about that, the book, was that aspect. Your wordsmith skills are just spot on, Sean. You know, when I say you're there, you're there. And that comes with a lot of research. I don't know if I can do that type of detail. I hope I can. You know, one day when I grow up, I hope I can. But I am just floored at the detail you use. And because of that detail, you said it took kind of research, stuff like that. And then you brought this wonderful series to us. So what are your next projects? We know about the Violent Sand series. There's another series out there, too. And then what are your next projects? So tell us all about your books you have available today.
The next book in the Violet Sand series should be released towards the end of this year. So look out for that when it comes out. In the meantime, if you're looking for something else that I've written, I've got another contemporary Christian thriller called To Fear the Dawn, and that is also available on Amazon.com. So, go along, have a look at that. It's quite different in that it is not set in biblical times. It's set in contemporary times. It's more of a Christian political contemporary thriller. But you also have a lot of action scenes. They obviously trade swords for guns. And they also spend a lot of time running around all sorts of exotic places, which include parts of South Africa, parts of Europe, and even a trip into the Seychelles. So it takes you on a bit of a roller coaster ride of all sorts of exotic locations. I suppose very James Bond in that sense. But I had a lot of fun writing it, and it was fun writing the characters. Another one that's in the making, but that's still early days. I've also got a book set in ancient times. It'll be set in early Christian times, so you're probably still looking at first century, but not in Israel itself. And there, I want to look at some themes around greed and around worshipping God versus worshipping mammon. So that won't be as action-packed, perhaps, but it will, yeah, it'll look at some interesting themes, and I quite like the characters there. So that's still very early in the making, though.
How can readers stay connected with you?
The easiest way is through Facebook. I've got a Facebook page, which is at Sean V. Young. So that's Sean, S-E-A-N-V, Young, Y-O-U-N-G. So go along to my Facebook page and connect with me there. You can also connect with me on my website or via my website at seanvyoung.com. So that would be the easiest way to get in touch with me.
Sean, if you don't mind, I would love to give a shout-out to that Bible college in Johannesburg that gave you access to the library. I just want to give them a shout-out. Go ahead and tell them hello.
Hi there. Hope you guys are listening from the guys at Rosebank Bible College.
Thank you so much for allowing Sean to use your resources to bring about great fiction. And I think that's just so important because so many people today are biblically illiterate, and they're biblically don't know what's going on. The people don't read the Bible for all it's worth, you know. But then you've taken that research, your Bible knowledge, and everything else, your creativity, everything, you've dumped all of that into a wonderful narrative in the Forge and Rage Sands, and Forge and Rage Violent Sands series. And that's why I really appreciate it. So I definitely want to give a shout-out to Rosenbank, you said? Rosenbank?
Rosebank Bible College.
Rosebank. Rosebank Bible College, thank you so much for allowing Sean to use your resources. And I think we get more and more of these, we can really reach the world for people who won't pick up the Bible, but through maybe your works, they may ask the questions of life that we all have inside of us. So I really appreciate Rosebank for their support. So, you know, this show is all about encouraging authors, Sean, and thank you again for being with us. What words of encouragement would you give to aspiring authors whom God has given them the gift to write, to pick up the pen and do so?
Well, absolutely. I think you've always got to write what's in your heart. And the biggest encouragement I can offer is just finish your project. I think as authors, we can often get bogged down in the minutiae of perfecting our craft and trying to get something perfect. And it becomes very easy to try and just create that perfect opening scene. But I would say move past that and finish your project, because done is always better than perfect. I think if you try to get something perfect, you'll never get done. But if you get done, you can then go back, rework it, and you can make it perfect. So get in there, write, and finish is probably the best advice I can offer.
Oh, my gosh, Sean, that is amazing. I just resonated with that because I'm working on several projects and I keep going, and I know better. But you know how sometimes you get hit by self-doubt or life interferes or something like that. And I like how you said done is better than perfect because you'll never get it perfect. How can imperfect people get it perfect, right? It won't happen. Yeah. It won't happen. I was just encouraged by that, and I hope you are too. And Sean, once again, thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today on the show. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. It's been great. Thank you.
And we were talking today to Sean Young. He is the author of the book Forged in Sands, which is book one of the Violent Sands series. And I want you to go ahead and pick up a copy of this book today. Love on My Brother, do it today. And make sure you pick up his other book, Fear the Dawn, which is a contemporary spy novel. If you like some political intrigue, spies, things of that nature, pick that up today as well. Thank you so much for being with me on the show. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. And you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.